Welcome to Spirited Straight Talk, the podcast to help you thrive with the help of spirit. I'm Deb Shepherd, psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and author. Each week, I bring new insights to help you heal from loss, connect with spirit, and turn setbacks into triumphs. So let's get started.
Have you been in a situation where family members have passed and you're stuck without a will, or you're stuck with a will and there's all this family drama going on, a lot of chaos? Well, that's what we're going to cover today. I'm here with my wife, Dana, on Spirited Hello. Straight Talk, and we are going to focus on people come to see me all the time to talk about their family member that passed and all the dynamics that went through it. And sometimes there's a will, sometimes there's not, and the stuff that happens, and they want to know, is their loved one okay with what is going on? And I have a story to share before we get going, but I remember when my in-laws passed, not on with you, because I've been married more than once, but another marriage, and things were divided. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law sent me the gold and the silver that was supposed to be divided. I was included in the will, which was very honoring. And when I went to take the gold bar to sell it, because I wanted to enjoy
cash
the money,
it in. Cash yeah. it in.
It was fake.
It was a novelty.
I wish I would have known about my gold and silver bars, but I wasn't obviously educated. As soon as we showed it, we're like, oh, yes. And I remember reaching out to my brother-in-law. Of course, there was only crickets, but this happens all the time.
I think he said, oh, I'll check into that.
Oh, yeah.
And I never heard from him again.
No, I just wanted him to know that I knew. But this kind of stuff is not unusual when it comes to the world after people pass, and whether there's no will or there's a will that the dynamics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to just share a couple stories, because you've heard about some of these.
Oh, my gosh. So many people called a book, and that's what they ask is, can she help me talk to my loved one who has crossed over to help me figure out what my loved one wanted, or why is this happening, or why didn't they have a will in place? What do they want? You know, so it is a lot there. It happens frequently.
Or the ones that get changed right before they pass.
Yeah.
I get those a lot where, you know, the sibling that was always difficult, always the problem child, got the parent at the last minute to change the will.
But how hard, though? You have your struggling through grief already, mm-hmm. because your loved one has crossed over, and then your life is chaos because they either didn't leave a will, or someone is being a jerk about it, or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And each state, and you know, wherever you are, wills and the laws are different. And so I always tell everybody, you know, check into the state that you live in and look at those laws. Some of them are really painful, where there is a sibling that's taking care of a parent at the end, and they never got along. And then the will is given to another sibling that never helped out. And so that grief is salt in the wound and really hurt.
Yeah.
And they'll come to have a reading to find out if that's what their parent wanted and how come, and kind of go through that process.
And why did they not make it more clear? Or
did they intend to do this?
Or do they see that? Yes. Do they see what's happening?
Absolutely.
That's a big question, is do they see what's happening and what this other family member is doing? They want to know.
And they always do see. Some of them are the ones that, too, is the ones that have the guilt, where the will was left to the child or the person that is well balanced and wants the best for everybody, but then the other parties in the will are fighting for more or not agreeing, and there's a battle. And some of these things go on for years. It's really quite sad, where it isn't about the loss of the loved one, but it's the money that's left behind, or the stuff.
The stuff, yeah.
And one thing that I want to bring up is your loved ones are not attached at all to any of the things here. So if you feel you don't want to get rid of your mom's favorite hutch and dishes that she had, and you're never going to use them, you know, you have to keep them because your mother loved them or your grandmother loved them. They're okay with you moving them away to have someone else, you know, selling them or whatever you need to do. So it can be really difficult to go through someone's things. You know, even the stories, and this is not about a will, but you go to their house and they never threw anything away. they have their taxes from 40 years ago that they kept in all the receipts. And so going through it can be so taxing on an individual. And I've got some tips for that as well. So I want to combine that when someone, you know, a loved one that you feel that you're responsible for at the end of their life to go in and take care of their home and their finances and stuff like that, it's a lot. And to really give yourself, as you use the word grace sometimes, and to step back and to ask for help with it as well. So a few things to go by that I know without a doubt is your loved ones don't care about the stuff that they left behind. They don't. Something they treasured for a long time. If it's not something you're passionate about or something that doesn't bring you joy about that loved one, then it's okay to
So you're keeping their stuff for yourself, for them.
Not for them,
basically.
Yeah. And what we're finding now is younger generations, really, we used to pass on the dishes and the hutch and the tables and all. And young people today go, no, I don't want that stuff. And so
I don't want your china.
I don't want your china. I don't want your dishes. I don't want whatever. Right. So there, just know without a doubt. I think I'm saying all this stuff so that people don't book an appointment with me, you know, but it's stuff. It's stuff is memories. It was their memories is what they needed to keep and to allow other people to enjoy it if they're going to. When it comes to siblings and people in the will that are going back and forth, I think you have to decide how much energy you want to spend in it. Now, there are sometimes I have people come that there's millions of dollars involved. And I think those are much more intense, but that's where it becomes more hostile in the family environment because there's so much money. But I've even seen it with people that want the $50,000 or the $25,000. So, it's all.
So spend it now.
Yeah, spend it now. Enjoy it.
Don't fight over it later.
Yeah. So this is advice. If you are the one in charge of the will and you want to follow your family's
wishes.
Thank you, family wishes, then follow it. But if you feel anything inside of you that says, you know, I think it's okay to share this or to do it differently, feel okay. But I will tell you, it's not getting judged on the other side. They want you to do what you feel is right because you're living with that decision. But if they didn't leave anything to another member of the family, they probably did it for a reason. And you can also honor that unless you don't want to carry that. So that's totally up to you as well.
It's up to your level of guilt you want to carry.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, what is this about? The other thing is if you were left out of the will.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think that's a hard one. And what I will see in many circumstances is a lot of times there's a family of patriarchy where they believe only the sons should get the money and not the girls. And that's tough to live
still
with.
Today that happens.
And when you think about that, you're thinking throughout your life, you probably felt like, you know, the second person in the family. You never felt like you were appreciated as much as that child. And then they pass and they put more pain and suffering on it because they're not equally dividing it up on the kids. And so the child will feel, well, did they not love me that much? But it really has to do with the belief system. That it goes to the
limiting beliefs.
Limiting beliefs. So in your healing process, look at it in a larger scale. Don't look at it as they didn't love you. It might be the fact that that's what they sort of believed. Like it should only go to the sons.
Do they believe that on the other side?
No. That's an immediate no. They're like, I wish I would have done it differently. They realize that that's what they did. Now, you and I believe in reincarnation. We believe in contracts. We believe that there's lessons. So it's another lesson of understanding your worth and value. It's understanding, the family dynamics and doing that inner healing work versus that you're not enough.
Yeah.
But some of the stories I've heard.
Give us a juicy one. Give us a juicy story.
Well, some people,
and not that we want to talk about somebody's pain, but there are some interesting stories.
They're really that what I'm going to use, and I don't use this word ever, 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 is the word evil, where some people that are in charge of a will are actually they're
manipulating.
Really, oh, yeah. Gaslighting, using the money to not, allow others to heal, or they'll cut out certain grandchildren and allow others in, because, I mean, the stories go on and on and on. The thing I want everyone to remember is when you're going through this process, you're not only are you grieving, whether you love this person dearly or you went to battle all the time, you went to toe-to-toe, that this will doesn't represent the full relationship. It doesn't represent what they feel on the other side. It doesn't mean that they wish they would have done things differently. Mm-hmm. And I think people are uneducated when it comes to, you know, their wills.
Have you seen somebody that has dementia or Alzheimer's been taken advantage of in that way, like changing a will?
So I said at the very beginning, I said, you know, they go in and if they're on their deathbed and someone's having them sign to change the will, and you're like, you got to be kidding me. And it gets held up. And I mean, it's supported
that court
in court,
even when they have dementia.
Wow. And the other family members are like, I can't believe that they are saying that it was 2 days before they died. And you can tell the signature's not really good or whatever, or it's a fake signature. The other thing I get phone or sessions on are people looking for, where is the will?
Mm-hmm. Lost will.
Or they put it somewhere and they can't find it, or they second in a...
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they don't know who the attorney is. They don't know if it was done online, or they put it in a, you know, a box at the bank, or...
Yeah. So make sure you have somebody in...
What's really the delicate part, if you don't have a healthy relationship with a family member, to ask them where their will is, or do you have a will, or, you know, what's going on, because they think that you're there for the money and you want them to die. And as we were talking to our producer, she had this feeling that her ex was going to maybe pass. And she said, you don't have a will. Let's talk about this. And he passed weeks later.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's okay to have those discussions about, you know, the ending of our life. People think it's taboo, but it is an important thing to talk about.
Because you never freaking know.
It could be the next day.
You never know.
It could be that day. So advice for people that are struggling or have struggled with the will of a family member or friend or whoever is to realize that they do see things differently when they cross over. Every single time they regret they didn't divide it the right way or would have changed things or would have let you know where the will is. And the other part of it is don't take your value and worth or the lack of not feeling loved by how the will was set up and divided, because that has nothing to do with who you are. And people's belief systems are interesting. The other factor that we see is one last thing is when parents get divorced and the new wife... Mm-hmm. Is it to her kids versus...
Yes. We see that one a lot,
yes,
too.
So those are those situations. So
the parent dies and the wife's or the new spouse's kids are put in the will versus the biological children.
Yeah. And so, again, a lot of times in those scenarios, the parent that passes, they're just trying to make it like, it's okay, just do whatever. And I'm going to give you the advice, not you personally, but our listeners, please, please, please don't continue to cause hurt and suffering from your will. Count everybody in. You're not going to be here anyway. So allow everyone to feel loved. That's what's important.
Yeah.
Is to know that you are affecting more generations on this too. And, you know, we've talked about our, you know, our wills and we keep updating and changing them. And that's the other thing. Keep it current.
We better get on it.
I know.
It's been a little bit.
But, you know, to me, every 5 years at least, unless you've had major changes in your life as well. But the pain and suffering that comes up from wills that are not appropriate in the sense of how do you include people. Now, I think one of the things is when someone feels really hurt and someone hasn't been there, people are cut out of the wills, and I understand that. But it's those that don't deserve to be treated that way. That's really hard. Yeah. Like getting a fake gold bar. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a good one, right?
But you get to live with that one. At least it's a good laugh.
It's
now.
A great laugh. It's a great tool to teach.
You first found out that was not funny.
No, it was not funny. And I needed it for a particular situation. So it was like, okay, what's our second plan then? Yeah. And with that said, I know that with grief, grief is hard. The loss of our loved ones, whether we loved them and we miss them or that was a hard relationship, it's tough. The other part of this is that you don't allow this paperwork and money and stuff to keep you from being the best person you are. You know, live your life and just know, I will tell you without a doubt, absolutely without a doubt, they will always come through and apologize for that behavior. Always. I've never had it any differently. Like, what was I thinking? And what was my mindset? And, you know, there's a lot of regret with them when they cross over. And I just hope my brother-in-law has some regret eventually. Thank you once again for joining us for a topic that, you know, doesn't get talked about until someone passes. But I appreciate you joining us and maybe getting some insight to navigate if this is what's going on for you or that you're still healing from a situation that's caused you some struggles. In the meantime, join my website or go to my website, debshepherd.com, and look for tools and things to help you in your life. See you again on Spirited Straight Talk.